Hey, it's Brandon Laws, your host. Today's episode of Transform Your Workplace is brought to you by Zenium HR. Learn more about Zenium's custom HR and complete HR plus payroll solution at zeniumhr.com. All right, we've got two episodes this week, and today's episode features Jerry Hawthorne, the Chief HR Officer at Aflac, and we're talking about their most recent workforces report. And we're talking about the challenges that many organizations are facing. Needs are changing of people, and we've got four generations in the workplace. And so we're talking about all those challenges that impact employees and what employers can do about it. We're talking about benefits. We're talking about well-being and feedback and creating purpose in our work. So you're going to really enjoy this conversation with Jerry. Just a wealth of knowledge. And I really appreciated the data-driven conversation that Jerry and I had. So I know you're going to enjoy this. Make sure to connect with Jerry on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn as well. Love hearing from listeners. Enjoy the conversation with Jerry Hawthorne and make sure to stay tuned for an episode coming Thursday as a kind of a bonus episode. So I know you'll enjoy that as well. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the conversation. Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you on Transform Your Workplace. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So you're the Chief HR Officer at Aflac, a large organization, a well-known brand. And, you know, I don't get a chance to talk to too many CHROs of large organizations like Aflac. And I'm curious, and, you know, as we sit here, you know, post-pandemic, what are the types of things that are keeping you up at night when it comes to being a CHRO?
Yeah. I mean, first I would say, you know, Aflac, I think a lot of folks know us from our beloved duck, but we are a company that is really focused on wellness, engagement, and supporting our customers. And so in my role, engagement and wellness are absolutely critical to what we do, because if you have employees who are well, if you have employees who are engaged, I mean, you know, all the research, higher levels of discretionary effort, better customer experience. So when I think about that and I think about what kind of keeps me up at night, it really is the external environment right now is pretty polarized. Inflation is high. Costs are not going down for kind of, you know, just normal day-to-day goods. I went to Target last night, literally, and spent $100 on, and I walked out with one bag, right. And I'm like, what did I buy? So just, you know, normal day-to-day items are just getting more and more expensive. And so for me, what keeps me up at night is, you know, helping our employees navigate that, right? So, you know, stretching the dollar more, making sure that we're paying competitive with market. And by the way, you know, not doing something that's going to negatively impact the company performance from a cost perspective, but kind of managing all of those competing priorities. We really want our employees to feel well, to feel supported. And Aflac, by the way, does this and is senior leadership is bought into this in a way that I've not experienced at other companies, which makes my job actually better in some ways, because I don't really have to do a lot of hard convincing. I've got senior leaders who believe this and you know, kind of have a strong point of view on the value and quality of work for our employees. But it really is making sure that they're cared for and that they feel cared for, that they feel heard, that they have opportunities to grow and develop, that they're well. You know, we're headquartered in Columbus, Georgia, and one of my wellness employees today sent me an article that said that Columbus, Georgia is one of the least healthy cities in the U.S. Now, I don't know how accurate or not accurate that is. You know, I didn't check the source. It's not Aflac, so don't quote Aflac on that. But what I would say is that, you know, when you think about that, I want our employees to be well. So for me, I think those are the big things. That might have been a little scattered, but it's really about our employees feeling well, feeling supported, feeling heard, and having opportunities to grow and develop.
Yeah, that's well said. I asked you that question because what I find is like a brand like Aflac might speak out in the market But I'm curious what you're doing internally, because a lot of times that reflects, or those sometimes can be in misalignment with what you're preaching to your customers and out there in the market versus what you're doing internally. But it sounds to me like you've really worked on yourself internally first, and then you might do things like the Aflac workforce report, where you might share some data and say, here's what we recommend and here's what other employers are doing. It's the right thing to do, that kind of thing.
I would say we really walk the talk. I mean, so our CEO has a phrase where he says, if you take care of the employees, they'll take care of the customer. And we take care of our employees. And my team has a campaign, I guess, I don't know if you would call it a campaign, but we have, maybe it's an acronym is what I would call it, where we say we care for our employees. And we dovetailed that off of an external campaign that we were doing about caring for the communities where the company was making donations. And we do a lot with the Aflac Cancer Center and the Children's Hospital of Atlanta. And so we said we have to care for our employees. And so that's about cultivating them. It's about aligning and building resources. It's about retaining our employees and engaging and making them feel supported and heard. Because I know we're going to talk about the report and burnout, and you know, but we as a company know that employees who are stressed, who have higher levels of burnout, are more likely to look for other opportunities. They're more likely to have microaggressions in the work site, more likely to have a toxic work environment. And so we really are focused on not just putting the reports out, but using our own employee population as a bit of a petri dish, so to speak, to try new and innovative ways to support and engage employees and make them feel well, or give them opportunities to become well and healthy.
Yeah, I love that. The company that I represent, Zenium, we're a pretty regional company and support small companies. Every year we run this survey called the What People Want From Work Report, and we basically provide employers an opportunity to go ask their employees what they want out of work and what they could do better. And we always find that just having that feedback loop of just trying to seek to understand what employees are want, because it does change year to year, quarter to quarter possibly. And a lot of employers out there aren't even asking. And I think that's where they fail, is like they don't have that data to take action on and to try to improve and to meet the needs of a changing generation. Like this Gen Z, and we're going to get into this with this Gen Z, they have very different needs than millennials did, or Xers. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I totally agree. And the one thing I would say is that, you know, don't ask if you don't want to know and if you're not going to act on it. So I guess that's the maybe an only saving grace for the companies who aren't asking, because they probably wouldn't take action. Because if you ask your employees what they want and then you don't either follow through or at least explain why you weren't maybe able to incorporate something that they requested or some of the key themes that you heard, that will cause frustration among employees as well. That will cause lower productivity, because employees, they want to feel heard. They want to feel cared about. They want to work for an organization that knows that they have a stake in how their employees are feeling.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. So Aflac comes out with this workforce report annually, right?
Annually. And I think we are on year 13.
That's amazing. So, you know, from this report, I read it and it's very comprehensive, got a lot of good details. I pulled out some things I wanted to chat about. Top challenges that you're finding that employers are saying when it comes to engaging their employees, what are they saying? Oh, and by the way, who's taken the survey? Like, let's maybe start with that. Like, how many people did you survey? What's kind of the demographic?
You know, I'm going to phone a friend on that one. Paige, I don't know that I know that. Who all the companies that were serving.
It wasn't clear to me, so I thought maybe.
Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head. I'm sorry about that, Brandon.
It's okay. In getting into this survey from this go around, what are some of the top challenges that employers are saying that they're facing when it comes to engaging their employees right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that, you know, one of the things that we found in the survey is, I mentioned this at the beginning, the employee financial wellness continues to be a challenge. So in the face of increasing costs out there, I mean, I think our survey found that about half or three quarters, of Gen Z wouldn't be able to cover the cost of an unexpected medical expense over $1,000, right? And that's a little bit better than it was the prior year. But if you have employees who don't feel like they can make ends meet and who are having to make decisions between putting gas in the car or going for, you know, some sort of checkup, that's a challenge for employers. That's a challenge for HR folks, but it's also a challenge for the business, because if you don't have well employees, they're more likely to be absent, productivity is likely to be lower. So that's a really, really big one. And the other one is really about burnout, I would tell you. So this is this Gen Z in particular is a population that are facing, Gen Z and millennials, they're facing levels of burnout at a greater level than other generations in the workplace. I think Gen Z, we said 67%. And 64% say they're facing moderate levels of burnout. So of those two populations, that's two-thirds of those two populations, which are the growing populations in the workforce today. And why? I mean, there are many, many reasons. And I would say I think there's internal and external. I mean, financial, of course. I think the polarization that we see and read about on the news, you know, every time you turn the news on, it's very polarized and it's just negative. Unfortunately, there's a lot of negativity, wars, and, you know, just you name it.
It bleeds, it leads, and it's everything on the media. That's the way it is.
Yep, that's exactly. I think that the other piece, and I've done a little bit of reading on, is around social media, which I think is fascinating in that there is a direct correlation between high use of social media and feelings of isolation and loneliness.
Which is bizarre, but bizarre. I get it.
It's really bizarre. But what's interesting is that I read a survey, and it was not in the Aflac report, but there was in the survey, it said that something like 40% of Gen Z and millennials who are using social media said it actually made them feel more alone and more isolated. You know, it's a tool that's supposed to connect and help people stay connected, but it's creating these feelings of isolationism. So I think there are multiple reasons for companies, but the biggest ones really are around financial wellness and burnout. At least that's what the survey found.
Yeah. The financial part is where I want to hone on first. I feel like with Gen Z in particular is interesting to me because, you know, they're newer to the workforce, and then you got these high costs. They're probably stressed out because they're trying to pay student loans back. They can't buy a house because interest rates are crazy. Like, they have a lot.
On
them right now. Yes. And they probably feel, this is where the social media comes in too, is they're probably looking at everybody else saying like, wow, they're going on vacations and they're buying the houses and it looks like they're saving for retirement. And where am I at?
That's right. Yeah.
So they've got the isolation, burnout, and the financial just insecurity. I don't know. Is that what you're feeling too?
I 100% agree with you. And I also, I'm a mother of two Gen Zers. And so it's like, I look at the research and then I kind of look at my two young adults and I just sort of say, yep, that's pretty much. I have a child who's getting ready to graduate from college and has a job and it doesn't pay enough for him to live on his own. Right. So 4-year degree, student loans, good degree from a decent university, good first job, at least what I would say is a good first job that seems like it would pay very competitively. And when he sat down to do his budget, it was I can't afford rent and a car, you know, and he doesn't have a car payment, but transportation, insurance, gas, I can't afford all of these things. How will I do this? What am I going to do? So I really do think that plays into it quite a bit. Yeah, it's really difficult for this generation. And I also think that even though there are jobs that are out there and the unemployment rate is low, overall, I think that the jobs that are leading to careers and that are competitive pay, and I think those are fewer. I think people can find jobs. I think it's more of, is it tied to what people went to school for? And can they actually parlay that into something longer term that could turn into a career?
Yeah, they're probably going to make some tough decisions about their career path because if probably had passion around something that they were studying, wanted to go into that field, realize it doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, I don't know if you're on social media a whole lot, but I see this meme floats around a lot and it's, I think it's really poking fun at Gen Z. Although it seems like maybe there's trade-offs like to buy the $5 latte at Starbucks or save for a house. Those two are so far disconnected. It's like, you're not going to save enough to be able to buy a house if you cut out Starbucks. Where the real problem, what we're talking about here is inflation is drastically higher and wages aren't catching up to it.
That's right.
You had 8% inflation a year ago or whatever it was, and employers on average were giving 3-4%. It's not catching up. So,
that's exactly
I mean, that's probably what the survey data alluded to, with people being stressed out. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, no, that's, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's, you know, and we looked at, of course, you know, around medical expenses and Gen Z having to make difficult decisions. So you gave the example of the Starbucks and the house and buying a house. But, you know, what we actually found was that 63% of them have high anxiety about healthcare costs beyond what insurance covers. And that they're delaying medical care and because they cannot afford to pay some out-of-pocket expenses. And that's scary because, I mean, you know as well as I do that anytime you delay something like that, if you need care, it's not going to become less expensive over time, right? If you're putting something off and then you go a year later or 2 years later, if there's something there, it's probably progressed and it's probably worse. So psychologically, you know, kind of that burnout, the anxiety, but it's also financially probably going to cost the person more as well. So it's a double-edged sword. You do those kinds of things.
I even look at like, and this is a little bit of plug for Aflac too, is people are delaying having kids because they can't be out 3 to 6 months or however long they'd want to stay with their kids, let alone maybe even afford a short-term disability policy that would allow them to have a child and recover their wages while they're out. This is a huge problem. We have a lack of kids being born, and that's not good demographically at all. So
no, it's not good demographically. Yeah, it creates an unusual cycle that does have larger like socio-demographic implications that we may not know about for 10, 20, 30 years down the road. But you look back at, and this is going to be extreme, so I apologize, but take it all the way back to, you know, when China had the one-child policy.
Oh, it's burned now.
And everybody wanted to have one, you know, that they wanted to have a son. And the implications that that has on the makeup of that society today. Now, I don't think anything as extreme as that. That's absolutely an extreme example. But I do think that there are unintended outcomes of some of these things that we may not understand for a little while, like not having kids or delaying having kids simply because of lack of being able to afford it.
Yep. So this is a societal problem at this point. And for people who are feeling anxious about this and just really financially insecure, there's not a lot they can really do if they're not making the wages. So I think this is where employers could really get creative in terms of meeting the needs of their people. And this is why we were talking about earlier, like survey your people and figure out what they need. Are you finding that the increases in terms of overall compensation are coming by way of like cash compensation or benefits? And what did the survey say about that?
Yeah, the survey actually said that employees would select a company with better benefits compared to pay for more security. And so, you know, and 76% of those that we surveyed actually said they are more concerned about mental health care coverage than they are physical health care coverage, which ties to kind of that emphasis on burnout. So compensation is always important. And I'm certainly not saying that, you know, someone's going to turn down a $200,000 a year job for a 50 because the 50 has better benefits. But employees and candidates are absolutely looking at what are the core benefits and the perks that organizations are offering to help them to have better financial planning, to have better access to mental health care coverage, to have better access to fitness and physical wellness. Employees, they also want to work for companies that, and Gen Z in particular, want to work for companies that they believe have a purpose, and that purpose potentially aligns with what's important to them. So it's not just a company that's good for its shareholders, but it's a company that is good for the communities in which it operates, and maybe even on a larger scale, that has a cause that people can kind of rally around. So it really is becoming more about, to this generation, millennials and Gen Z, it really is more than, even with the financial strife, they're thinking about it more holistically, which I think is a good thing. They're asking harder questions and they're asking more, so to speak, of employers outside of just what's my pay, what's my hourly. It's, well, what sort of 401k planning do you have? What sort of student loan forgiveness or student loan repayment programs do you have? You know, do you have mental health benefits? Do you have physical health benefits? We have at Aflac, I talked about our care campaign. We have 5 pillars of wellness that we focus on. And so we try to think about our offerings and our employee experience through the lens of, you know, physical wellness, which that's, you know, the health insurance, it's fitness centers, it's, you know, apps for our remote employees and discounts at fitness centers nationwide, and a few other things. It's emotional wellness, and that goes to your EAP and those mental health services that we offer. It's financial wellness, so not just the 401k, but how do we actually help educate our employees and help them to maximize some of the benefits? You know, we provide supplemental insurance, so we give our employees supplemental insurance policies. And we just had a town hall, today's Tuesday, last week, and I said to our employees when we were talking about it, I said, you know, if you're not filing claims, you're literally leaving money on the table. You're literally, that we're handing you a policy for free. We'll pay you to go get a physical. Just go get the physical. And by the way, we have a health center on site, and we have a partnership with Marathon Anywhere so that you can get some of those services free anyway. So you don't have to pay out of pocket, and we're going to pay you through the policy to go get that. So take advantage from a financial wellness perspective. We also have spiritual wellness, which is a little different than a lot of companies. And that really is about meeting our employees where they are. We have a partnership with an organization called Corporate Chaplains of America, and it's a non-denominational, it's an EAP type organization, but they will be there. You know, they've been there for employees in the hospital. They've been there when employees and or their dependents have unfortunately passed away. And some employees prefer that. Some employees they prefer the traditional EAP. Some employees prefer I want to text somebody, you know, from my house at 10 o'clock at night because I'm embarrassed. So that's how I'm going to get my support services. So it's what we've really tried to do is to think about all of our offerings through the lens of we have a mixed employee population. We have very long tenured employees who have been here, you know, 30, 40 years. They probably, many of them, more than likely, they prefer in person. They prefer to go to the credit union. They prefer to go to the health center where they know the nurse by name because they've talked to that person for years and years. Then we have this newer generation. It's a more geographically dispersed population, much more tech savvy. And, you know, they may not want to talk to a chaplain. They may not want to talk to anybody with a religious background, and that's okay. We have options for that group of folks too. So for employers, I think it's really about trying to think about your offerings through the lens of what your employees will use, and then making sure that your employees know how to get to that information and where it is. And it's almost a little bit of an internal branding and marketing campaign, because it's, you know, you offer all these things and then employees don't have any idea that you have them. And it becomes that when you go to the CFO, you know, the next year to offer more benefits, and he says, or she says, well, what was the usage for what we're paying? You know, and you say, well, from the target audience, maybe, you know, but at the end of the day, you want to make sure that what you're offering is actually getting into the hands of your employees and that they're taking advantage of all of these things. Otherwise, what's the point?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm actually a professional marketing person. Like that's my function. And what I know about that, especially, you know, I work for an HR company, and those two things work hand in hand: employer branding, HR, marketing, all those things work together. And what I know about employees and benefits is you have to over-communicate. And once you thought you over-communicated, you have to communicate it again and again and again. That's just marketing. That's in general.
Yes.
It doesn't stick after one time.
It's marketing. It is. And you can't wait till open enrollment. Yep. You do it all year long. And that is one of the things that we've really, really worked to try to do. And, you know, pre-pandemic, the vast majority of our employees are still within kind of our core locations. But we changed as a company, like all companies did during the pandemic, and we started to recruit more virtually and geographically dispersed. We bought other companies. We morphed quite a bit. And so we really had to, as everybody started to re-engage, you know, there was a little bit of a period of time where I think a lot of companies, it was kind of quiet, like things were moving, but it wasn't a lot of forward progression. It was almost that sustainment. But when we started to kind of re-engage to start the path forward again, we had to go back to the drawing board to say, okay, how have we always done things? Does that work? What can we do differently? What do we need to do differently? How do we meet the demands of this population? Because it looks and feels different than it did before, and it has different expectations. And so we have to change how we operate as a function and as a team.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is I feel like, and I've said this before, I feel like the one size fits all menu of benefits is kind of gone. It's dead. I think people are getting smarter and the needs are changing. And honestly, like one size fits all just doesn't work anymore. And so I think listening to your employees is really important, but also being able to offer these different things like you're describing is really important. Even if nobody uses it, having that as an option where I don't know if you've ever heard of people having a certain budget to spend on a menu of benefits that Aflac might offer, any employer might offer. But I think you have to get creative nowadays because the needs are so wide ranging.
I absolutely agree with you. And I have heard about that. We don't do that. I know companies that do, and there are great benefits to that. But in order for that to be as successful as possible, the educational component for the employees and getting them to the place where they're making well-informed, fiscally sound decisions is really, really, not that it's impossible, but it's a lift, right? Because, you know, there's a population of employees who will go the cheapest route no matter what. And that, you know, and so it really becomes, you have to try to make sure that they do understand the implications of the decisions that they're making and what those will have on a day-to-day basis. The one thing I would tell you that we do that I don't know, I haven't seen as deliberate at other companies that I think is absolutely important is we are a company that I would just call it a company of gratitude. And we encourage leaders to thank employees on a regular basis, to, you know, acknowledge the work that they're doing, to take time to thank them. We try to make it as easy as possible for leaders to give honors, give awards, even just, you know, electronic cards. And the other thing we do that is really unique to us is we do an annual weekly celebration of our employees every year where we kind of work doesn't stop, certainly, but we don't schedule meetings. We, you know, we try to make it so that, you know, people are getting time out of their regular day-to-day job to, we have events in evenings and for our different locations, it just depends on where you are. There are going to baseball games, professional and or minor league, or we have carnivals and, but it all ends in a massive celebration at the end of the week where it's almost like a game show. It's very different than anything I've experienced anywhere else in a really good way, but it really is, it's kind of an extreme example of the fact that it's a company of gratitude. And that, I think, that's what employees want to be. They want to feel that the employer is appreciative of the impacts that they're making. You know, people talk about microaggression. I kind of call it like micro gratitude, right? So your frontline manager has the biggest impact on your experience on a day-to-day basis. So if you're a leader that listens, is kind, you know, that doesn't mean don't give difficult feedback messages if someone's not performing, but do it in a humane way and tell your employees how much you appreciate them. Those are small things that, boy, they can have a massive impact on productivity and engagement and wellness overall.
Yeah, that definitely goes a long way. Something in the report that I wanted to ask you about, it said 48% of employees feel like they can turn to their managers when it comes to their mental health. That sticks out to me significantly because, for one, managers aren't trained mental, most of them are not trained mental health counselors and just dealing with and probably dealing with their issues of their own. What do you make of this? Because on one hand, it's like it speaks to the trust that maybe people have in their managers or just need somebody to talk to, and the manager might be the easiest one. I don't know. What do you think about this?
It's really interesting. I think one, it to me, it indicates that the stigma of having these conversations is less, right? It used to be that people would never, you know, mental health days and kind of dealing with stress. People didn't talk about that because that was sort of, you know, like pick yourself up by your bootstrings or whatever that phrase is and kind of move on. And so I actually think it's really great. From a leadership perspective, I you said something and I agree with it, which is they're not, you know, most managers are not counselors. They're some are, but most are not. And so I really think what I hope is that they're talking to their managers about places where they can get help and that the manager is hopefully pointing them to resources and not necessarily trying to be the therapist in the moment, but saying, you know what, I hear you. I want to make sure you get the support that you need. Let's point you in this direction because the organization has things that they can offer to support you.
Yep, that makes sense. Well, as we kind of wrap up this discussion, I wanted to ask you, because you spent some time talking about the Gen Z group. This is it's a large group coming into the workforce. They're millennials, Xers, boomers are still in the workforce, and many of them are established. You know, they have houses, they have decent paying jobs and all that. And Gen Z, I think, is kind of, they're kind of stuck right now because of just everything happening economically and in the world. I know some employers are getting pretty creative with what they're offering this group, this generation. What are some unique things that you've seen with employers, with what they're offering by way of benefits?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about it. I think this is a group of people that is very technically savvy. And so I think, even though we've talked about how that can have downside effects as well, but I think companies that are leveraging technology to engage this group of people from a benefits perspective, it's that, I think that's really important. We have a tool that's a bit of a benefits aggregator where our employees, so we can point you to one app, potentially, instead of, well, you go to this for this, you go to this here, you go to this if you want this. So it's just a consolidator to say, here it is, here's everything you need. I think another one is really around student loan repayment and support. And that, to me, also just ties to financial wellness and helping this population to understand and to think about financial planning in a very deliberate way because of some of the things that we've talked about. And then I go to the mental health support and services. When you have such a large percentage saying, I feel burnout, I have burnout, I think employers need to not just offer it, but make it available, talk about it, leaders talk about it. We've done some interesting things here where leaders have, you know, they've had wellness challenges, and we have what we call real talk, where leaders are sharing kind of, you know, true stories about their own experiences. We actually had this a few years ago when there was a lot of social unrest from racial issues, and we had some of our diverse leaders talk about their own experiences. That was when I was newer here, and it was different than I've experienced in other places in a good way, but it created this authenticity of this group of people who are very senior sharing what their own experiences were. And so I think that's something that companies can do, right? It's that authentic leadership, and just not only frontline leaders, but all the way up, being as authentic as they can with the employee population to let them know, hey, I've been there, maybe not the exact place that you've been, but I've come up through the ranks too. And so I can relate in some ways with some of the challenges that you're facing, because at the end of the day, we're all people.
Yeah. That's well said. Well, Jerry, this has been such a really good discussion, really important discussion. This stuff's not going away, and it's going to keep evolving and changing with the times. What do you want to say in parting thought, or more resources that you could point people to, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely look at the Aflac Workforces report. Like you said, it gives really good, solid information for organizations to kind of help to inform thinking. And I also think we talked about it, you know, with the marketing. I think if you're an HR leader and you're going to go to the trouble of getting these unique offerings, perks, benefits, whatever they are, it really becomes you have to think about yourself like an internal marketing organization for how you push those out to engage your employees and to get them to try, you know, the different services and benefits in order to maximize the offerings.
My guest today has been Jerry Hawthorne, the Chief HR Officer at Aflac. Jerry, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I appreciate it for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in for today's episode of Transform Your Workplace. The content on this show is strictly for general information and educational purposes only, so that you can go transform your workplace in a positive way. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are the guest's own and don't represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of either Zenium HR, the sponsor of the show, or me, the host, Brandon Laws. Additionally, Zenium HR or myself, Brandon Laws, doesn't endorse any guest, their business, or any organization they represent, so discretion is advised. We encourage you to work with a trusted advisor to find a custom approach that fits your organization's needs. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode.